Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Deadline City. We are your hosts. I'm Zoraida Cordova.
And I'm Danielle Clayton.
And where are we going today, Danielle?
We're going to TikTok Tavern, and we have an amazing guest who has an amazing TikTok and is also an amazing author. So we're very excited to dive into this huge topic that has taken the book industry by storm.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to the show, Alex Astor.
Yay! Welcome to our weird place, the internet!
Yay! Thank you so much for having me. I'm such a huge Deadline City fan, so this is, like, amazing.
Yay! Okay, so Alex is an award-winning author of the Emblem Island series and the Light Lark series, which is upcoming, right? And then you also have a graphic novel series I'm seeing on your website.
Yes.
Feel free to tell us what that is about.
I don't have any details. It was something that was kind of like thrown in with the Light Lark deal. And I can talk about how that happened. And it does kind of relate to TikTok. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So then let us get started. We have a lot to talk about with TikTok because authors and publishers are trying to crack this code, right? And I think that, like many publicity things, all of this stuff can be organic, right? Specifically something like a viral TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of Publishers Weekly articles. It has been mentioned on Publishers Weekly 3-4 times since August. Mm-hmm. There's a New York Times article also, which is called How Crying on TikTok Sells Books or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit of a shady title.
It's reductive. Like, it is reductive.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck y'all.
It is shady. Yeah, I can't imagine being those girls and like being like, I'm going to be in the New York Times and then seeing that title. That's really shady.
Yeah, it's like a slap in the face because, you know, I just think, and we're going to get into this, but anything that's associated with women and girls and what they love gets shit on. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that shade is there, yet this group is like making bestsellers. Mm-hmm. And so people are hating.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. We're going to deep dive that for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. But in general, TikTok is this, if you're living under a rock and you have no idea what it is, it's this huge social media platform where people make videos. They're a lot of fun. I've only been on TikTok twice. I have a 15-year-old niece. Mm-hmm. She will murder me if I start my own TikTok. So I am just making cameos on other people's TikToks who are
You would
very
look
successful.
Like that Steve Buscemi meme. What's up, fellow kids?
Exactly. I'd be like, wait, my face would be close to the thing. Wait, what's happening? Like, what? I have to push this? I have to click this? Wait, what do you mean? I have to do this over and over again and then stitch it together? What? What does it say? Like, that would be me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have what it takes, okay? I was born old.
Yeah, yeah. TikTok launched in 2017, so it's not something that is brand new. I feel like everyone's like, it's brand new as a platform, but the book talk part feels brand new. How did you become a part of it, Alex?
Tell us your story.
I actually joined TikTok, without exaggeration, the day I got my book deal in 2018. It had just turned into TikTok from Musical.ly. And I just knew that a lot of young kids were on it. And I knew that I was going to have a middle grade series. So I thought, hey, by the time my book comes out, maybe I'll have a following. Maybe it can be helpful. It was totally random. No one I knew had TikTok. I started making a few videos. It wasn't that much of a priority for me until this year when I think I made my first book talk in February. So the first one that was related to like me being an author or publishing, and that really took off. And I saw that this little niche that looked so small, book talk, was really exploding. And so since then I only post book talk content, and I have just been shocked by like the power of this community. It's a little strange because TikTok has now, I think, over like a billion users. So obviously it's a huge mega social media platform, but yeah. BookTok is still relatively small for the effect that it has. So whenever I have a video go like super viral, like millions of views, it almost feels like everyone has seen it. So like people will tag people in the comments, and then I'll see like all the people that were tagged were like, oh yeah, I saw this. And that's just, if you think about it, like bananas, because no other TikTok, like if you sent your friend like another viral TikTok, even if it had like 20 million views, the chances of them seeing that random TikTok out of like millions and millions is so small. So I think that it's a really powerful community for how many people are on TikTok. And obviously we've seen, like with the articles that you mentioned, the effect it's had like on the marketplace. So that's my journey. And I can talk more about how like Book Talk and TikTok contributed to like my new book deal, Light Lark, that comes out next year. But that's kind of like, I joined it years ago. So it wasn't this thing where like I magically in February decided to create an account and my first video went viral. By then I like, which probably everyone thinks is what happened. I knew by then how to use the app, what people liked, how to use the features. Like Danielle, you kind of hinted at the fact that it's a really complex app. It's not really something you can drop into and like write a tweet and then tweet it.
So hard. My friends, we were trying to do, we're doing an anthology called Amore actually. Mm-hmm. And we're doing these, like, we did the video where you pass on a book to do our cover reveal. Mm-hmm. And it's really cute. It's really cute. But so like cute. All of us are like, I don't know how to do this. We had to get one of our friends, Sabrina Soul, her daughter, because Sabrina's on TikTok and she enjoys it, right? And her 14-year-old daughter was like our creative director, being like, do this, like the lighting. Mm-hmm. It was really fun.
You gotta go to the youth. Yeah. You gotta go to the youth because you old bitches.
No, there's grandmas on TikTok, like doing like really complex videos where I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope I'm that cool when I'm that age.
It's really hard. It's not like that intuitive. There are so many features. Like I've been on it for so long now that like when someone asks like, oh, how do I do this, like I'm like, oh, you just do this. Like it's almost like second nature. But it was really hard. Like it's a big learning curve. Like the features are always changing. And the thing about TikTok that I don't think exists in most other platforms is that literally if you don't go on it for 3 days, you're lost. When you go on, you don't recognize any of the audios. You don't recognize any of the trends because the trends are literally daily happening. Whereas like on Twitter, like a tweet could go viral 5 years from now or like 5 years ago and it would still go viral because of the content of the tweet. But with TikTok, there's so many variables that unless you're going to be on it every single day, it just, you might just be lost. Like if I don't go on TikTok for a month, I will literally feel like just, I have no idea where I am, what's happening, what the new features are, what the new trends are. So it's just constantly evolving.
It kind of reminds me like Feed from MT Ander by MT Anderson. You know, remember that book came out like in 2000 or something like that. And, and it's like, but like in the book it's like a futuristic sci-fi novel. That's redundant, futuristic sci-fi novel. And in the book, everyone in their mind has a feed and it moves faster than you can actually pay attention to it. Although, like, we don't have the feed in our minds. We're just looking at it on our phones. But I just doom scrolled for an hour before I got out of bed. So I can see how – I know that if I download TikTok to my phone, I will literally not get any work done because I have an addictive personality. Yeah. And I will lose my entire life to this.
My niece is on the videos, like she'll be on for 3 or 4 hours. And I'm like, dude, put your phone down. Mm-hmm. She can't stop watching the video. There's like such an addictive quality to it. And, you know, I also will watch them, but via other apps, right?
Yeah.
So like
Instagram. I want to talk about how publishers are encouraging, like, okay, before we get to that. So I'm going to read to you a passage from Publishers Weekly article, How TikTok Makes Backlist Books into Bestsellers. And there are certain books that have gone viral, right? Mm-hmm. Song of Achilles, which actually came out in 2012 and is already a mega New York Times bestseller and massive award-winning book, right? I love this book so much, but TikTok found it. Mm-hmm. Colleen Hoover, Adam Silvera are one of our booze and past Deadline City guests, right? They both die at the end, has seen a huge resurgence. And so there is this thing where we see backlist getting a bump. And so Libby McGuire, the senior VP and publisher of Atria, which is my publisher and she's my publisher, first noticed a sales bump in November 2020. So by the summer of 2021, the bump became a surge and they said that they were averaging about 17,000 copies a week for It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. And so the book has since then gone back to press 24 times since November of 2020. So that's about a year, right? And this article was from September. So who knows if they've gone back another one or two times. And so right now, the book has sold like almost 500,000 copies because it became super viral. But like the other side to that is I listened to an episode of First Draft with Sarah Ennie. And they had an author and former publicist, Margot Wood, on the episode. And in that episode, they talk about how like some viral tweets work and others don't, because an author was tracking her sales, and her sales only went up with a viral video by 12 copies. So I think that there is this like miscommunication for publishers, because they see some books really take off, that now they're like, oh my God, okay, every book is going to take off if it goes viral. So like, where is the missing thing that what is the thing that publishers are missing in this?
Oh, that's such a good question. I listened to that podcast too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the thing to be really clear about is an author cannot make their own book go viral. Like, that just cannot happen. I think that publishers think
that again for the author.
I will remember. And I feel like, honestly saying this, and I've had discussions with other friends who like do have a large following on TikTok as well. And we feel like, okay, as authors who have gone viral on TikTok, people might think this is just like trying to dissuade others from going on TikTok. But truly, like, I'm telling you from experience, like, authors cannot make their own book go viral. And the reason is, and we've seen this in like literally every case of virality, it's not one person making something go viral. So I have a lot of followers on TikTok, and I have so many publishers and agents that have rejected me in the past reaching out to me, like begging to like send me their book, or like,
yes, nice?
it is very nice. And I'm like, just a few months ago, you were rejecting me. Yeah. And so I have all these people like thinking that if only like I will make a video about their book, it will go viral. And I honestly can say that a large creator cannot make a book go viral. They can make other people pay attention to it. And if they've never heard of it before, obviously their followers might buy it, but that's not viral. Like, if 1,000 of my followers go buy a book, that's a lot of sales. But if the book's not that great, it's going to end there. It's like the chain like gets snapped at that point. What goes viral is a small creator with like 100 followers posting about a book, and then two people buy it. And then those two people have four people each buy it, and then 10 people. And that's how something truly goes viral. If you think about it, any song that you see on TikTok that has gone viral, it's because millions of people have used the audio. It's not because the top TikToker has used it. So I think that that's where like the miscommunication is that something going viral is not because like me and Chloe Gong like posted about the book. It's because millions or thousands of book talkers with 100 followers posted about it. That's it going viral. So
that's fascinating.
Yes.
Wow. That's fascinating.
And I will tell you from experience, because I obviously have two books out, my audience on TikTok is definitely not the audience for my book. So I have a middle grade series, Emblem Island. And so although I have seen like a big jump in sales, like in 1 month I did more sales and I had done an entire year because it was the book of the month for Barnes & Noble, and it was kind of like a cool collision between a lot of my books going viral, or a lot of my videos going viral about my books and it being in Barnes & Noble. But what I see, like if I go back and look at it, is a lot of those sales, like thousands and thousands of books, yes, it's amazing. Those are people who like are a fan of my videos who want to support me. It's not necessarily people who are like buying the book because, oh my gosh, they're looking for a middle grade series. Like, I'm not necessarily writing for that demographic. Now, Light Lark, my new young adult book, is a little different, but so far, like, I can tell you that just because I have a ton of followers on TikTok and I have 100 million views on my videos, that does not translate to I've sold millions of books. Like, it's in the tens of thousands, obviously amazing, like a huge push. I debuted in a pandemic, so this is like basically that was the only opportunity for me to like get my book out there. But me myself, like I cannot make my book go viral in a way that is going to have like the virality factor of just exponential growth. That's not possible for me unless a reader takes what I've written and they make it go viral. And I think the examples you said, like They Both Die at the End, an amazing, amazing book with a really cool title. So anyone that's seeing, oh, They Both Die at the End, a lot of the comments that I've done videos with Adam and a lot of the comments are like, oh, I thought maybe the title like was trying to trick me, but it's not, or I cried. And so of course, thousands and thousands of people are going to be like, let me read this book that everyone cries and let me see if maybe I don't cry or maybe they don't die at the end. You know, it's something catchy that like got their attention. But if the book was horrible, it would have died there. The spark wouldn't have continued. It wouldn't be what it is now, you know? So all of those like viral examples, like It Ends With Us, there were already so many fans. And so for one reader to pick that up and be like, you should read this, you're going to cry, or you're going to have this experience, this emotional tether to this book, that's what makes it go viral. Not because some huge book talker just like held up the book. That just doesn't have any sustainability. So I think that it's a little dangerous and a little bit like just not a great idea for publishers to be forcing every single author to be on TikTok. Because yes, if you get a following, you will get sales from that, but it's not going to be the next They Both Die at the End, because readers have to be the ones that make a book go viral. It cannot just be an author.
So that part is still organic.
Yes, it definitely is. And also, if you think about it, like we can name on our hands, like how many books have really truly gone book talk viral. And I don't mean like some books they put on the book talk table that just already have been huge bestsellers. And then the author joins TikTok and they're like, oh, it's a book talk book. But that's already sold like millions of copies.
Right.
So it's not. But if you think about like the ones that truly have been like plucked from like years ago or like no one has ever heard of them, you can count those on your hands. And like if you really do the percentages for how many books there are out there, you're better off buying a lottery ticket. Like you can't control that. It's such like the odds are so, so small that that's going to be your book. And also, like I said, like you can't be the one that like does that. Even if you sent your book to like 100 book talkers and they all decided to post about it, which obviously is not like an organic situation, but let's say that happens. Sure. Again, like each of those people might have 10 people that buy the book because of their video. But if the book is horrible or if it doesn't have like that staying power or some spark that makes other people from that chain like make videos, it's just going to end there. And then it's the virality just fizzles out. So I think that that's important to recognize. And I think it's also important that like when you have a bunch of followers and you have a big audience and stuff, that's amazing for like pre-orders. But the sustainability factor, like we don't really know that yet. It has to be based on like how good the book is, you know? So if you have like thousands and thousands of pre-orders because you have a huge following, that's amazing. But if those thousands and thousands of people don't recommend it to other people because they're like, this is the best book ever, you're not going to recommend a book like, you need to read this book, I read it, it was not that great, but I love the author, she's on TikTok. You're not going to do that. So like the book has to be really good for them to be like, I love this author, she's on TikTok.
You're saying they have to have like an emotional component to the book, because good is subjective, right? Like I like a lot of books that my friends don't, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so it's just such as it is just fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. What ends up being picked up or not, and also how white like all of the book talk books are. Mm-hmm. So that's also something that I think about, of like how, because what you said is that it's dangerous that publishers tell like make authors get you like, you know, it's like, mm-hmm, you should have a TikTok, and they send these commands down, right? Like make a TikTok every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand that.
All of this is like so fascinating to me, right? Because everyone really thinks that they can make their shit go viral, right? And that's the key to success. Danielle, and like I've been watching. What?
Look at how when we first started, right, back in the day, it was like this. Okay, so I'm going to say something that is probably going to make some publishing people mad. Publicists and marketing people are very strategic, but I think that also there's a part of the industry that has no idea how to make books work all the time. And so, mm-hmm, we just try the thing that is prominent during that period of time. For instance, when we first started in 2012, it was blogs, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get this book to the blogger that is having like 5,000 clicks, mm-hmm. right? 5,000, she has 5,000 things on her, views on her blog. And that's still a blog when people still wrote out blog posts, right? Mm-hmm. And then it moved on to like, this person's big on Twitter. This person's big on Instagram. This person's big on Snapchat. Now it's booktubers, right? Like, let's get it to mm-hmm. the booktuber. And so I think that there's a difference between a reader being on these platforms and the author being on the platform. Mm-hmm. And I think that like there's like a fine line where some authors make it work and some don't. But I think that like what I see from other writers is that publishers are making them do these things. Mm-hmm. Or because authors are also like, please tell me what to do, or like, I'll do anything to make my book work. That like, if these suggestions are sent down the chain, like you're like, oh, my publisher wants me to be on this platform, so I'm going to do it, even though it makes me unhappy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the most dangerous part about that is I love, you guys say on Deadline City, like our number one job is to be authors, like to write. And the thing that's dangerous, like why I say dangerous for publishers to do that, is because TikTok is not Twitter. Like, I am hopeless at Twitter. I have no followers there. My posts never get any likes. Like, I don't know what to tweet to save my life. So this is no shade at Twitter. Like, I'm just not good at that platform. But on Twitter, it's you're writing a post. Like, I'm not saying that that doesn't take like a long time, but just any idea that you think of on TikTok is going to take a long time just because of the mechanisms of it. And I posted a screenshot on my Instagram when I got verified on TikTok, and someone, I got a bunch of DMs that were like, oh my gosh, your drafts. And I didn't even notice it tells you how many drafts you have. And I had over 1,000 drafts. And then I was like, yes, those 100 million views don't come easily. It's not just like I made one video, I posted it, and I was done in 5 minutes. Every time I record, it takes hours, and I'll record like 8 different audios, and then I might end up posting one, and then it might not even do that well. It's not a guarantee. And so it's really easy to see like, oh, this person, every single post they make like has hundreds of thousands or millions of views. Amazing. But there's so much work behind it that just is dangerous if you're not seeing like a direct correlation between, yes, I'm making these videos and it's helping my career, or yes, I love it, I enjoy it, I would do it anyway, so I'm doing it. If you hate TikTok and you don't like making the videos, you are going to waste hours every single day that could be used writing. And a lot of these authors, like Adam Silvera, I don't even think he had a TikTok account when They Both Die at the End went viral. So clearly, like, and I was with him. I recorded the video that he made. I think it has like over 1 million views now, because I just so happened to be with him when he got a royalty statement. I just like a creep, like started taking a video, and I just sent it to him. I was like, if you posted this on TikTok, I think it would go viral. But I'm just like, I'm sending it to you. Like, you do with it like what you will. And he did post it, and it did go viral because it's like an emotional moment. But yeah, I mean, he didn't even have a TikTok. So it's not like you can say like, oh, Adam Silvera got a TikTok, he posted about his book, and then it went viral. No, it's like a bunch of readers posted about it, and he found out because of the sales. And so you just can't really correlate the two yet. I will say, like, it's a little bit of a different thing with young adult and when you have like an author who is using the app consistently and really knows how to use it, like Chloe, and like I like to think myself, because I dedicate so much time to it, that you almost become like a book influencer. And I hate that term, but now that I've been sent so many books and I have been offered and paid like more money than I have been paid to write books to post one video, which is just insane. But you start to like veer from, you're not an author anymore, you know, you're an influencer. And it takes up a lot of time that, unless you're really seeing consistent results or unless you love it, it just, why would you do that to yourself? Like, you could be writing an entire book for the time that you take trying to make all these TikToks that don't work, or maybe they do work, but Zoraida, you're right. Like, I have had so many videos go viral, millions of views, and I see no correlation to my book sales because they're not about my book. Like, if it's directly about my book, yes, I've seen, if I post, this is the plot of my book, and people are like, I like that plot, they will go buy the book. But most of my videos are just about writer things or reader things, like that's not going to sell my book. So I just think it's dangerous to really like because also publishers are making it seem like, oh, if only you would dedicate this time to TikTok, you would be the, like, they both die at the end. And that's just not true. So I think it's just like, unless you really love it, or unless you have seen these like massive results, I just, why do that to yourself? Because I have to be on TikTok hours a day to be able to like keep up with the trends, to make these videos. Like, it's become another job for me that honestly has taken a lot of time from my writing, which is my primary job. So it's just like, you really like, I do think it's dangerous making people think that like, if you just get a TikTok, you will sell books. It just doesn't work that way. And I've seen it.
It's so fascinating too, thinking about our beloved Adam. Mm-hmm. And I debuted with Adam. Mm-hmm. And he had the, you know what I mean? He was with a smaller press. Mm-hmm. And people really discounted him. Mm-hmm. And I remember there were very few people of color. So of course we all knew each other and all sort of stuck together. And Adam and I were in New York, together. And he was like my favorite person. And he is one of my favorite people. And I just remember people treating him and his books as if they weren't that valuable. Mm-hmm. Right. And that the stories that he wanted to tell about queer boys from the Bronx, Latinx boys, that they weren't important. Mm-hmm. And so like, it couldn't have happened for a better person. Yeah. With the stuff that he's trying to write and the stuff that he writes, because he got so many no's. And people don't really know that about his story. And he takes care of his family. Mm-hmm. And where he comes from and his beautiful mother, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people really don't know. So like the fact that he really stuck to his vision and to what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking paying off. Mm-hmm. Organically, right? Like, he just let people into his life, showed people who he was and like why he writes these books. And then the readers fell in love with his characters. Mm-hmm. And they made it happen. And I love that, because it couldn't have happened to a better person. And I just feel like people see it and they think it's somehow rigged. Mm-hmm. And that he's, you know what I mean? And that yeah. people who have the success like set it up, and that there's a formula and you like demystified it. Like, there is no mm-hmm. formula. Like that, it's like a chain reaction.
Exactly.
And publishers want to recreate that chain reaction and get that interest. But it reminds me, and this is a topic I want us to touch on, of when, I mean, hate it or love it, when Twilight blew mm-hmm. up. And all of these young women, young girls, like, loved it, like, went hard for it, went to the movies and made it a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And everyone was poo-pooing on it and shitting on it. And, like, I just feel like when young women and young and girls decide that they, like, fucking love something mm-hmm. and they go hard on it, that's when the haters come. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of haters, because a lot of the books that are bringing up are ones that give you a big emotional response mm-hmm. or shock, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think we should talk about the fact that there's a bit of snobbery mm-hmm. around this entire thing mm-hmm. because it's,
you know. I mean, look at the title for the New York Times article, right? Like, how crying on TikTok books sells. And then you have all these beautiful portraits because they did photo shoots with these young girls. Mm-hmm. And so like, you went out of your way to take these beautiful pictures and interview these women, and then you give this like you knock it down a peg.
Yeah, it's like sensationalized.
I know
some of the people that are in that article, and they're so nice and they're amazing. I think they're from England, and it's really sad that you're right. Like, everyone likes to think like, oh, it's just these like girls on there crying about a book, and that's not true. Like, you have to think, like, these are teenage girls. Like, everything you do at that age you think is embarrassing. So if you like post something about that, it's because you mean it and you're trying to find your community. And so I think to like tear people down or like make it about that is just so wrong. And I really think that like TikTok is all about authenticity. Like, why They Both Die at the End, why these like Song of Achilles, like these books that make you cry, took off isn't because they were acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, if somebody had taken a picture of me weeping on the 6 train while reading Song of Achilles, like reading the last third of it, like I would have gone viral because I was fucking crying on the train mm-hmm. and somebody asked me like, are you okay? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
She's crying like a family member died. Remember, she called me and she's like, and I was like, oh, get out of here with that.
Yeah, these are authentic reactions. And I think that, like, if people saw that video and was like, oh, you're making yourself cry, you're acting, like, this isn't true, they would never have read the book. They're watching this video seeing, oh my gosh, this is a genuine response to a book. I've never had this response to a book. I've maybe haven't read any young adult books. I've just read what I see in school, and I don't really like reading, but this girl who, like, is my age from across the world is reading this book and having this response. I want to see if I have that response, and maybe they do, and maybe they record them because they feel part of a community. This is not, like, people like to think that TikTok is very performative, and yes, on some level it is, but for a lot of these, like, kids, it's their life. And especially with quarantine, like, you would think, like, why would you, like, film yourself crying? I wonder, maybe it's because these girls are trapped in a room not seeing anyone for a year. This is their only way to, like, show their reaction. So I also agree that I didn't like that title. And I think that all of these people, like, they have so much power, and it's not about, like, having a ton of followers. Yes, these girls now have a lot of followers because they recommend really good books. But at the time, like, I know the specific people who are responsible for, like, the first post about, like, they both died at the end, or we were liars. And they didn't have huge, massive accounts. They just posted authentically. Their followers saw that. They decided to follow their advice, and it spread like wildfire. It wasn't orchestrated. And so I think that that's what maybe publishers don't understand, is you can't really orchestrate something like that. If you send a huge book talker a book, you're going to get the same kind of, I guess, like, chances of virality if you, like, have a billboard. It's just like they're a billboard for their 100,000 followers, 300,000 followers, but you can't guarantee it's going to go viral because that one person is posting about it. You're just going to guarantee that a lot of people see it. You're not going to guarantee what they do with that information.
And that's why publishers can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. And also, just because they spend a whole bunch of money mm-hmm. on a particular book,
yeah.
Adam was not paid a lot of money for his books. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing that's very interesting. Because he was discounted, because these were about queer boys of color, he was not paid mm-hmm. very highly. And so, yeah, you can pay such and such amount of money for a book and then think you're going to get it on TikTok mm-hmm. and have book talk go wild, and they'll be like, no thanks, mm-hmm. right? And they pick the paperback up.
Yeah.
Right? Of a book that's like, you know what I mean? That a publisher spent $30,000 mm-hmm. paid for, right? Like, it's really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. It really is, like, humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people. Super humbling.
It is humbling. I think that every time a platform like this comes out, I think that, you know, everyone scrambles, and the scramble is what makes publishers just throw something at a wall. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, like, obviously there are people, there is strategy. Like, there are some amazing publicists, we've talked on the podcast to them, right, that have the strategy. But I think that, like, there's always that, it always feels like as an author, I've never gotten that directive from my publisher, because they're mm-hmm. like, because my publicist is like, you know, you're going to do what you feel comfortable with. Right. Mm-hmm. But perhaps other authors don't have that same experience from what I'm hearing in the, mm-hmm. in the author streets.
It's just fascinating.
But it's also easier to tell a debut that, isn't it? Right? As opposed mm-hmm. to, like, Bitter Zoraida Cordova, who's been here for 10,000 years. It's easier to tell.
I wish my publisher would. I wish my publishers would be like, Danielle, you need a book talk at Brown Bookworm. Like, get it done. No. No thanks. And they're gonna be like, you need to make videos, whatever. How about you spend some money mm-hmm. and send that book around mm-hmm. and do what you need to do, because I need to write, and I'm not, my niece will flag my videos so that I can, my account get shut down. Okay. So, like, she's not playing with me. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're embarrassing me, aunt. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to do that to her. She's 15. Mm. I love her. I'm not going to show my ass because I know I'm not good at these things. I can't even make videos that are like 30 seconds. Like, tell me about your book. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit. Let me redo it.
I can, now, like, that I've downloaded an app where you can read, like, a teleprompter app. And now
send it to me.
Now my it costs like $10 or something like that, but I'm like, this is worth every single dollar because now instead of spending an hour making a 1 minute video, it actually takes me 1 minute.
Can you send that to me? Because this old bitch can't remember what she's put down on her little flashcards in order to make her get them.
Okay. Clarabelle Ortega put me onto the app.
For the win. Mm-hmm. Clarabelle, Clary for the win. Yeah, I need Clary that for the in win. My life.
So, Alex, you mentioned earlier that you like your new book deal has a direct correlation to book talk. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So, my debut came out in the summer of 2020, and a year after that, I like parted ways with my agent. Like, I didn't have. Oh, sorry. Let me.
We did have this conversation.
Yeah, we did. Wait, let me say that again, because I'm getting the timeline wrong. So my debut, Emblem Island: Curse of the Night Witch, came out in the summer of 2020, and actually right before it came out, I parted ways with my agent. So I had no agent when I debuted. I debuted in the middle of a pandemic. It was a little insane.
I remember we met up.
Yes.
We met up on the Upper East Side.
Yes. Yes. You gave me amazing, amazing advice. And so I just started writing like the book of my heart, which is like so dangerous, but like the book that I had always wanted to write, which is young adult fantasy. And I had this like world in my head for years, and I really, really wanted to write it. And I knew it was a hard sell. Like, obviously young adult fantasy is super saturated. And so I just kind of went for it. Like, I wrote the whole manuscript unagented, and I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? I didn't know if I could like query. And I just listened to your new episode about the like query trenches, and how you both were talking about how like some authors don't think that they can query if they don't have like a ready manuscript. I definitely was that author. I was like, who's going to represent me? Like, my book came out during the pandemic. It hasn't done like amazingly well. And so I thought I had to have like a ready manuscript, and maybe I did, I don't know. But I finished the manuscript at the end of 2020, and I started querying, and I got an agent pretty quickly. And then we went on sub in, I want to say, February or March. So we went on sub, and it was actually pretty fast. Like, we like sent out to a bunch of publishers, and we started getting a lot of rejections. And it wasn't like, oh, this book is bad. It was a lot about like the market. And so I was like, oh no, this is horrible. I've waited such a long time to like do a young adult fantasy. Like, I didn't have an agent, and then my book came out during the pandemic. It all felt like very like powerless. And so I was like, okay, well, one thing that I can do is like, I can make a TikTok about the book, like about the plot of the book that I was trying to sell, which was Light Lark, and show publishers that yes, people want to read it. Cause I think like the dangerous thing that we've kind of like been hinting at is that publishers, they think that they know the market, which is like a little, maybe they do, like they know the business side of it. But I think that a lot of really great books kind of don't get sold because the market is so saturated that publishing is always looking for the book that they think that they can like manufacture success. And so I just kind of wanted to use TikTok as like a market validation tool. Like, I know this is a good idea. I know people would read it. And so I made this video, and it really was truly about, would you read a book about this? And it was exactly like what was in my query. I had like images in the background, and I posted it, and we were right in the middle of submission. Like, we had gotten so many rejections. We had a couple publishers that were already interested, but it didn't seem like it was going to be like the big deal that I had been hoping for. Like, all I wanted was a publisher to like believe in me and like do as much work as I was doing. And so I just was kind of sad that I was like, maybe I'm not like, I'm going to have another series where like, I feel like I'm not getting like the money behind it. And like, the reality is like, if you don't have your publisher spending money, like, it doesn't matter how many followers you have or what you do yourself, like, you're just missing a huge component of like a book's success. And so I posted that video, and within 5 hours, it had like 1,000 views, which is really, really low for me. And so I was like, oh no, this is like proving them right. Like, no one wants this book. But for some reason, I just kept it up. And when I woke up the next morning, it had over 1 million views. And the views weren't really like, they were amazing, obviously, but it also had like 7,000 comments of people like, oh my gosh, I want to read this right now. Like, 7,000 shares of like people sharing it with their friends. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've kind of proven like people want this book. And so it was in the situation where I already had publishers interested beforehand, which I'm happy about, because if I had ended up with a publisher that just was interested after like the TikTok viral moment, I think that would have been kind of like sketchy and I wouldn't have wanted to go with that publisher. But we went to auction that week and we like sold for like way higher than any like book deal. I got a series. So like it was a 2-book deal. And they also, because they really wanted me and like, I'm assuming part of it is because like I was able to like have that viral TikTok moment. And also like, obviously everyone knew that at that moment, like TikTok is such a big deal for YA. I was able to also get a graphic novel deal. It was just like thrown in there in the auction to like sweeten the deal. And so, yeah, I sold Light Lark and it kind of became like, it like had a release in Bustle. And I know that like a lot of people might've seen that and thought like, oh, she just made some like TikTok about a book and like got a book deal. And, like, yes, kind of, but like the book was already written. Like I had like 3 agents at that point. Like I've been writing for like now, like 14 years. Like, so it wasn't like an overnight, like, success, I guess.
You said something super brilliant when you said that publishers think they know what people want to read and they don't, right? And the TikTok generation and like TikTok in general is exposing that. And what you did with Light Lark is literally what more publishers should be testing out, because it's a bunch of white ladies in publishing in New York, who are curating the young adult market and saying yes and no and cherry picking and anointing very from different communities what book they think will work. And oftentimes, a lot of the time, they're wrong and so many people get rejected. And it's like, do you all know what this next generation wants to read? Or is this really about your taste?
Yeah.
And what you...
Exactly. And I think a lot of these publishing people also have been in the industry for so long that they, it seems like Twilight was yesterday and like Hunger Games was yesterday, but that was like over a decade ago. So these are totally new readers. Like those readers probably haven't even read Twilight. Like that seems insane to say, but like a 15-year-old right now probably has not read Twilight. And so it's a totally new market. And so people think,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But I will also say that like, I think that like publishing shows how out of touch it is when they're like, oh, I'm going to do like a ska 90s book. And I'm like, does like a 15-year-old know what ska is? Like, do they know what the 90s actually meant other than like the little choker things like that I still wear? Like it.
Don't embarrass us. Okay.
You know, or like an 80s and 90s are historical right now. Like you know, it's over 30 years ago. And so we're like, we're trying to make this work. But how do you establish a time period that for one generation was yesterday and for another generation is brand new? It's like in the 90s when the 70s were big. Remember, like I remember getting all these Delia catalogs, and they had like the like, oh, dress like the 90s, like the, sorry, dress like the 70s, like a hippie in the 70s,
flower power.
Yeah. And it was all because that movie with Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst came out, about Richard Nixon, the Dick movie. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with like the 60s and 70s. Like I wanted to dress like that, like a hippie.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember trying to get some of my mom's clothes, that she wore from the 70s. She had like a trunk, because I was like, oh, I'm going to be like you were. And she was like, the 70s are over, boo. Like, no, yeah, absolutely not. But it's one of these things that it shows that I don't actually think when it comes to YA, when it comes to YA fantasy, I don't think they know what is going to work and they won't take a shot on things. And you called their bluff here. You really did, using book talk and TikTok in order to do it and expose them, saying like, maybe you don't know what the next generation wants to read, but my fate is tied to that, right? Like you were like, look, let me show you that my story has value.
Yeah. And I do think like, I recognize like it was just a strike of lightning. It was so much luck that that video blew up for me, like in the timing that it did, the fact that I already had like a decent amount of followers, the fact that it connected with people. I've seen like people try to do the same thing and it like not necessarily work, or think that like maybe they're a teenager who hasn't even written the book and they think, oh, like a publisher is going to see this and like give me like a book deal. It's not as easy as that. Unfortunately, I honestly wish it was, because I wouldn't have had to go through like all of these years of like rejections and stuff before my first book. And also for Lightlark, like Lightlark was rejected by so many agents, so many publishers that now like are in my DMs, like asking me to post about books. And I think that it's like interesting because my TikTok following not only like helped me with the like the market validation of like Lightlark, but also now like I have a little bit more control over like a little bit more of like the marketing and a little bit more of my destiny and like what I get to do and what I don't because of this audience I've built. But again, like it's interesting with Lightlark because a lot of people did see like, oh my gosh, I saw this video and now it has this book deal and now it's coming out. So luckily, like I have people invested and hopefully they're going to pre-order and like be into the book, but that doesn't really make like a huge book. Like those people have to like read the book and like it and then tell more people. So I'm also under like no illusion that like this is all I had to do, like this one video to make a big book. Like I think there's so many different components, but the like baseline message is readers rule. Like readers are the ones who can make stuff go viral, who can make things into a huge like phenomenon. Like we can't as authors by ourselves, we can't. Publishers can also help by like investing money in our books. But yeah, I think like, again, having a big TikToker or like having a big book talk campaign is the same as having like a media campaign or the same as having a billboard campaign. Like you're just putting eyes on a book, but it's not guaranteed like if it's going to go viral or not. Like the book has to do that.
I love that. There is no shortcut through the work. Mm-hmm. The work still has to be done on the mm-hmm. page. You still have to write a compelling story mm-hmm. that makes people excited, and you still have to work on your craft. Exactly. Right? And like
yourself. Exactly. So I think that like if you don't love TikTok or if you don't want to spend hours a day on TikTok, then just working on your book and making sure it's amazing is like kind of just as good, because then people might like pick up your book and then they will make it the next big thing. I mean, either way, like it's not guaranteed, but I do think like you will definitely have more to show for it if you spend time on your book than if you try to like go viral on TikTok.
Mm. And try to manufacture some sort of success. Yes. No, I love that. It's super interesting. And I had another question about controversy, mm-hmm. right? And like when we're thinking about the things that go viral on TikTok, mm-hmm. like versus the things that go viral on Twitter, mm-hmm. right? Twitter is a platform where if you are negative, the more negative you are, mm-hmm. the more, you know what I mean, responses you get. That's how you can get a lot of followers, right? Being contrarian, saying something that's like lightning rod, whatever. And I was thinking, like, we're looking at these TikToks and we're looking at these books that go viral. I mean, I have seen people get dragged on TikTok mm-hmm. when they're like racist assholes and they're like disgusting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm wondering too, if like when you write a book that's controversial, mm-hmm. right? Or it has a twist or has like something that's like, some people like it, some people don't. Mm-hmm. Is that also something that like really influences the types of videos you see people are making around books? Because, you know, One of Us is Lying, for example, I'm loving the show. I love the mm-hmm. books. I love Karen. And I know that like her fan group and like the industry is split like on like whether they love it or mm-hmm. hate it. Right. And I'm wondering if those kinds of controversies also help drive that viral sensation mm-hmm. because people can make like hate videos as well.
Yeah, I think
I had a question.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that like at the end of the day, TikTok is a social media platform that runs on an algorithm. And the way that the TikTok algorithm works is it rewards like interaction with your post. So if you get a bunch of comments on your post, if you get a bunch of shares, if you get a bunch of likes, or just people spending time on the video, like watching it over and over again, those metrics make it so that TikTok sends it to even more people. And so I think if you make a statement or if you have a book that like They Both Die at the End, even a lot of people are like, I didn't cry, or people are like, I cried my eyes out. Like those are two kind of like differing views. And those are both comments that people leave. And they're like, they are like pushed to leave. Cause you have to think like you're watching so many TikTok videos. a video that will make you comment has to really like strike a chord. It has to really make you say, I'm going to stop what I'm doing in this like endless loop of TikToks and I'm going to go comment on someone's post. You really have to feel passionate about that. And so I think that, yes, like anytime that you have something that like a lot of people like hate like certain books that that BookTok loves, and then you have those opposing views. Any post about a book, you will look at the comments and see people say like, oh, it's overhyped, or oh my gosh, this is my favorite book. And so those are just all comments that boost the post. So I think, yes, I think there's definitely not that I've seen like the thing where like it's a kind of just an endless stream of like opinions and like canceling people and on TikTok, because I just don't think that those videos do very well. Like I've seen like in general, BookTok is very like positive community. You get really good comments. You have a lot of people saying like, I've never once, like I'm not inviting these comments, but I've never had people comment like, oh, you didn't deserve this book deal, or like your book idea is stupid. Like I've only had people say like, oh, this is so cool, or like, I'm so happy for you. And I don't know if like TikTok just has really good like comment filters or something, but yeah, I think that like TikTok is definitely the more positive platform that I've encountered. I'm on Reels too. And I will say, for people who are like, I don't want to join TikTok, like if you already have like a decent following on Instagram, I get more video views on Reels than I do on TikTok. And so I think that that's like a really good way to like be like, hey, I like making TikToks, but like I don't like TikTok, or like I don't know how to use it, or like making short videos. Like I would highly recommend trying Reels. Like Instagram is definitely trying to now like get into the TikTok game, so they're promoting a lot of videos. Exactly. And so my Instagram account has grown like a lot because of Reels, and I get way more views there like consistently than TikTok even. And I can post like almost every day and it doesn't like affect the algorithm or anything. And so I would recommend that, like if you're a little bit like, it's kind of the in-between place like between Instagram and TikTok, like try Reels. Even though it is on Instagram, like it's a little bit beyond just like making a post of a photo. And so yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think anything that like spurs a conversation is going to go viral, but also it kind of has to be attached to a trend. So like book Twitter is a lot about very industry specific things that like the wider population or like a 15-year-old reader in Iowa is not going to know about. And BookTok is more about like the conversations like that 15-year-old would know about, which is like conversations about certain books or like trendy books or books that make you cry or books that maybe like are more romantic than your average YA book. Like those types of topics are things that like teenagers would know about. A lot of like the book Twitter stuff is like no one has any idea what's going on there, like beyond like industry people.
That's fascinating, right? Because I always say that Twitter is not real, right? It's like not the real world. I'm like, nobody like knows.
Oh yeah. Like I knew that when American Dirt was like on every single, like at the front of every bookstore and every single like celebrity was posting about it. Like I knew that like the wider population had no idea about like the discourse around that. Because you like just, it was everywhere. So like how, you know, if people actually knew what like was being talked about.
My pain management doctor literally recommended that book to me as she was shoving a needle into my shoulder full of steroids because of my frayed tendon. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. No. But it's moments like those that you realize, because like everyone, like no one would post about that on book Twitter. Like everyone knew the deal. Everyone knew the discourse around that. Like in the wider world, like a teenager has no idea what's going on, or like just an average like book club mom, like doesn't know what the industry is talking about, which is great in some ways, because like sometimes that like discussion can go too far, or like have like different effects. And it's also bad because there's a lot of like important discussions happening there that just people, those discussions don't happen on BookTok, I guess. Like there, it's more about like feuding between like who likes this huge book or who doesn't like this huge book, or did this book make you cry? No, did this make you cry? But I will say, like, I go to Barnes & Noble a lot because I live near one, and I kind of just like haunt the aisles and like watch. And there are so many teenagers that are there in the YA section, like in huddles, in groups, picking up these books. And it's amazing. Whatever people say, like the shade they want to throw on BookTok, it's the reason why so many people are reading right now. So like, you might not agree with what is going viral on BookTok, which books are getting attention, but it's really like when I don't know the saying, like, when the tide rises, like, all the ships, like, rise to or something. I definitely butchered that. But, like, it's helping the entire industry. Whether you like it, don't like it, use it, don't use it. When everyone starts reading again, when Barnes & Noble is doing better than ever, when print book sales are doing better than ever, it helps every single author. So I think that that's really important. Like, all these readers now, they're going to be reading other genres in a few years, or they might be exploring in a few months. Like, it's just, we're creating readers right now. Like, Book Talk is doing that. So I think that, like, whatever you think about all of it, like, I think publishing should recognize that, like, in bottom line, it's creating readers, and that can only help our industry.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. Whenever I go to Barnes & Noble or go to a bookstore and I see huddles of girls being like, oh my God, I saw that on Book Talk, OMG. I'm like, yes, I love you. Keep reading. Mm-hmm. Like, please be excited about books, because you being excited about books helps everyone. It's just, you know, there are just all these questions, right? And like, I've been watching all these articles and thinking about, like, why certain books do it. And is the Book Talk phenomenon is what they're calling it. Is it going to open up and allow for more books by, you know, by POC people to blow up? Like, so happy to see our beloved Adam, right? Yeah. And then I look at all the other ones and I'm like, oh gosh, they're super white, right? Like, and I'm just hoping that we see more authors of color get, and more queer authors have their shit blown up. I'm just hoping that that is the case.
I hope so. Right? And I really believe, hopefully, like, crossing my fingers, that it does, because, like, if you really think about it, Book Talk is, like, kind of democratizing the industry. Like, before, it used to be like, if Oprah picked your book, you are the chosen one. Now it's like any reader from around the world can pick your book and you can be the chosen one. It just, it's kind of like, it opens up the playing field. It's not like these key players in publishing who have the connections to these huge people, that's what gets your book. Like, any book can blow up, even self-published books. Like, any book can blow up. I think that, like, the possibilities are endless with that, but I do hope that that extends to books blowing up by diverse authors, because I agree with you. A lot of the books are definitely kind of this white books that you definitely see a trend, but I'm really hoping that, like, as things kind of progress, like, the democratization really just expands to, like, including all voices.
It would be amazing. It's what I'm looking forward to seeing. And I just also love it. I love watching how it's happening, and the fact that these, you know, big stuffy people in New York and corporations can't control it is really fascinating and exciting to watch, right? Like, they can't get a pulse on it and they don't understand. And I just love that, because that is what teenagehood is. It's irreverent. It is here to push boundaries, and it's supposed to be something that we don't understand because that's the nature of it. Like, I remember when my parents were looking at me when I was 15 and 16 and being like, you're an alien, you're strange, you're weird. Like, extraterrestrial being, like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I've liked what I liked since I was a kid. I, you know, my family always thought it was strange that I asked for Aerosmith's Pump CD for a birthday and like a book about witchcraft. And so like, you know, I've just always been exactly who I am. And I've liked what I like. And I think that, like, you know, everyone tells you the things that you like is a phase, but I don't think that's true.
And it's fascinating. I just love it that this, you know what I mean, that they're in control and that they're making things work, and they're exciting, and they're making content that they love, right? And they're like putting themselves out there, and they are taking control of the social media that they want to do and that they want to consume, and like making the platform their own, honestly. And I just love this. I just love to see it. It is definitely fascinating. And I love, again, being a cameo. I don't think I will get on TikTok, because upon threatened, you know, being threatened bodily harm by my 15-year-old niece, but also because I have so much work to do and I'm not naturally good at it. I just love watching it. And when you said, like, it takes a lot to comment on the video, I almost made an account, because there is this little video about this little chinchilla in Philadelphia. And I love him. I'll send it to you afterwards. Okay. And like, he, this person dresses this little chinchilla up and sings little songs.
Oh my gosh.
And I almost made an account just so I could comment on his name is Phil. Mm. Okay. Phil the chinchilla in Philadelphia. So I could say hello to him.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was so moved.
I love that.
To tears.
And because this is the because this is the book talk episode, I do want to, like, if you've heard all of this and you still want to make a TikTok, I will give you my sort of like tips and tricks, like, quickly. I would make a new account if you've just been posting videos that you don't really like, because the first video you make from a new account, TikTok always like kind of boost that video because they kind of want you to get addicted to, like, oh my gosh, I got way more views than I thought. So make a new account and make it your first video.
Always chasing that high.
Always chasing the high. I do. There was a point where you had to post like literally 3 times a day to be relevant. That ship has sailed. You don't need to. You can literally post once a month and still go viral. So I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself. But before you post, scroll for at least 30 minutes and use an audio that you see on your For You page right then. And then click the video and see when it was posted. Because sometimes it'll show you a video that was posted 2 months ago. That audio is like kind of stale. Like, they're not going to keep showing people what that audio is. And so find an audio that from a video that was posted within the last like 4 days, use that audio and make that video then, and then post it. Because sometimes you'll like hang on to a draft and it won't do well if you post it a few weeks later. And then make it as kind of just like emotionally jarring as possible. And I mean, just like make a connection with the person watching, like tell us a story or say like, capture something that's really interesting, like Adam's video of like him getting his royalty statement. Like, that's like, that's really cool. Like, so that was really like a short, sweet moment, like something that you think people would share with others or comment. And hashtags don't really matter that much. Just use, I guess, hashtag book talk and see what other people are posting. But I think the best way to like see what's working, what isn't, just scroll through your For You page. Obviously, if you see a video, it's because it's doing well, and just kind of note what hashtags they use, like how long the video is, what audio they're using. And yeah, I think those are my tips. Don't put so much pressure on yourself too. Like, I used to put so much pressure on myself to post every day. Now I don't, and I get a lot more writing done. So those are my TikTok tips if you are still interested in making a TikTok account and post it.
That's great. Maybe I'll do it next year.
We need to make a cameo on Alex's TikTok first.
Yes, yes, definitely.
See what the algorithm tells us.
Yes.
And then see what happens.
Mm-hmm. But no, I love the way that you look at it. You look at this like a strategy. You look at it like the businesswoman that you are, which I think that, you know, we tell people on this podcast all the time, like, writing is a business and you have to look at it like a business person. And so
exactly.
That's exactly what you've been doing. So, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and experiences here on Deadline City.
We so appreciate you coming to visit, and we can't wait for your new series. You'll have to come back when it's, you know, coming out, like, revisit the city, the Deadline City Tavern, and like, you know what I mean? And like, come and talk to us. And, you know, we're so thrilled to have you and excited in general.
When does Solar come out? It comes out, I want to say August 2022. We all know that.
Okay, so fall 2022.
Yeah, so I would say fall 2022.
Excellent. We can't wait to have you back.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Deadline City. Thank you so, so much for listening in. Our goal is to demystify the publishing industry and count on listeners like you for your support. If you like what you hear, comment, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and share the episodes. Check out our Patreon and Ko-fi information at deadlinecity.com/support. See you next week, and for now, ride on.